Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of September 26, 2021. This week's sermon is titled, God is Our Refuge, by Associate Pastor Frank Donato.
Well, welcome everyone. We want to say we're glad that you're here watching our messages on the weekend. You know, last week, Carrie talked about an ongoing battle that we have, a spiritual battle. And we learned that the battle belongs to the Lord. And Carrie shared some steps how we will allow Jesus to take care of our battles, that he'll fight our battles for us, and how we can trust in him. And so last week we learned that the battle belongs to the Lord, and Carrie asked us and challenged us, what battles are you facing today? Well, I wanted to carry on that thought, and when I think of battles, I think of King David, and I go to the book of Psalms, because King David had faced a lot of battles during his tenure, and he was hammered with a lot of life situations. And you could read that in his journals there in the book of Psalms. And time again, when the pressure was on, David went to a place to get refocused and to be refreshed. That place that he wrote is called a refuge. The word refuge is used 41 times in the book of Psalms. So we're going to be looking at today at the topic that God is our refuge and what that actually means. The definition of refuge is this: a condition of being safe and sheltered from pursuit of danger and or trouble. So when I think of refuge, something that comes quickly to my mind is the forts that were built in the West in the 1800s. I think of the fort at Fort Benton, and that's a place of refuge where you could go and find safety and rest and from pursuit of danger. Or then I also think of a fort like a Lord of the Rings, of a castle. And so that comes to my mind, a place that you can go as a refuge. Well, let's look at today's scripture. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 64, verse 10. And it simply says this: the righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. So the bottom line, what we're going to learn today when we face our battles, the bottom line is this: God is our refuge. It's the place where we can come and rest, and when we're being pursued with danger or tribulation, God is our refuge. A retired friend of mine, we were visiting a couple weeks ago, and he's kind of newly retired, and so he's kind of finding his new groove in life. And he said, you know, it's very easy to just sit in front of the television all day, and he says he finds himself watching the news. He'll wake up early, watch the morning news, and then he'll watch the afternoon news, and then he finds himself sitting in his easy chair watching the evening news. And he says, you know, it just draws me in. And he says, you know, Frank, what's starting to happen? It's starting to pull me down. After watching news all week, he says, I feel this stress, I feel this anger, I feel this frustration coming in on my life. And he says, I hate to complain, but the news, it seems it's always these talking heads. And he said, I just noticed that they talk about the news, they don't talk about the news, they have their own agenda, and how they just twist their words for their own agenda that they're pushing. Well, today we're looking at Psalm 64, and we're going to see the environment that King David was in was pretty close to the environment that we're facing right now, what Steve was talking about and complaining about. David was in a toxic culture, that people were out to get him and change his agenda and twist the words for their what they say is truth is. So we're going to be reading in David's journal, and I can tell you, his story sounds like our story. Now, I stumbled on this about 4 weeks ago, just reading through the book of Psalms. And David shares our story here, his story, that becomes our story, and we can relate to it, his frustrations. He starts out with verse 64, he says, or for Psalm 64, he says, hear my complaint. You know, when I review the past year and a half of what we've been going through, the battles of COVID. We've all had some battles, and Carrie was right. And some of us are still carrying on these battles. But you know what? We all have a story. During these a year and a half, we all have a story. Maybe we're ashamed of our story, but we still have one. And sometimes we try to distance ourselves from the story. And we don't want anybody to know what's happening in our lives. And I want to say, if you're alive, you have a story. And I just want to say, maybe God is more comfortable with your story than you are with yourself, than you are. Now, I was going to put a Band-Aid on as a prop. Let's say I had a Band-Aid on, and I would come to church, and people would say, "Hey, man, what'd you do to your finger?" And I would say, "Well, I was picking up some yard debris, and it's just a cut. It's going to be fine." And you'd just look at it and say, "Yeah, it's just going to be fine." And we'd just carry on our conversation. Well, about 6 months ago, Rick Carlin came to church, to rehearsal, and he had a bandage, a huge bandage, on his wrist when he came to rehearsal. Now, he's my electric guitar player and my bass player. And so I said, "Rick, what happened? What happened?" And he told me his story. He says he has a wood lathe, and he kind of, as a hobby, he put up a shop there, and he's getting into carving wood and lathing it down. He said there was just an accident that happened, and it didn't hit any muscle. It had to do with his wood lathe. And he started to tell his story. I says, "Well, Rick, what do you do?" He says, "Oh, I don't know. I just make these bowls, and it's my hobby." So we'll bring one by. So he brings me a by. This is the bowls that my buddy Rick made. And I wouldn't know about these bowls unless I asked them about his story, how he got his injury. And it's neat. He just kind of does it as a side hustle, as a side hobby. It's called Rickster's Sawdust Therapy. And so he gave me this bowl, and I just keep it there by my chair and just think of Rick. And I wouldn't have learned all that. Rick was willing to tell his story about his injury. Now, I want to tell you, I need to warn you, this is going to get kind of personal here. And I might be just kind of prodding at things that's going to do some stuff to you. But I want to say, we all deal with emotional wounds. We all have struggles. We have inner wounds that nobody can see. People can see our outside wounds, but we kind of hide them, that we don't want to expose our wounds to people. In the past year and a half, here's some wounds that people have experienced during this time: fear, anxiety, nervousness, unease, worry, solitude. And if we were to expose these words, it's taboo to do it. You know, it's interesting. We'll come to church, and maybe you're coming to church and you have this horrendous fight with your wife or kids in the car. You know the story. And then you all get out, you shut the car door, you make your way to the church. By the time you get to the church entry, you slap a smile on your face, and people are saying, "How's it going?" And you say, "Great. Oh, it's just going great." You know, we're ashamed if we come to church and enter the building and someone asks us, "How you doing?" And you would say, "You know, I'm not doing good. I'm not in a good spot. I had a pretty dark night last night. You see, I stayed up all night worrying because I'm going to go to work tomorrow not knowing if I'm going to have a job." You know, you just wouldn't say that, because if you would say that, there would be a stigma put on you. You would be attached to what you're struggling with on the internal. And you don't want to be identified with that. Nobody does. Nobody wants a label slapped on you. And so you just remain silent. Now, the bizarre thing is, the church should be the place where the needy congregate. You know, the price of admission is, that's what it is. The price of admission is saying, "I am messed up. You know, I'm a mess up. I'm a moral failure, and I'm only saved by the grace of God." And we all mess up, and so are you. You know, one of my buddies, preaches in Kentucky, and I think he says it best. He says this: "Most of us are just like the rest of us." And if you peel back the onion and you talk about the inner self, you know what? When it's exposed, most of us are just like the rest of us. So the question is, why are we so afraid to own it? You know, if you came to church with a cast on your leg, let's say you came in the church and you had a cast on your leg, and people would ask you, well, what's that cast about? You wouldn't say, what cast? I don't have a cast. I mean, you just wouldn't say that. And if you came to church with a cast, nobody would ever say, well, the reason you have a broken leg is because you're not spiritual enough. You don't have enough faith in the Lord. You have weak bones because you're not spiritual enough. No, nobody would ever say that. They'd treat you with kindness and compassion. But what I'm saying is, if we come to church with emotional issues, we're afraid of being tagged with that for the rest of our lives. And we're being afraid of being tagged with this emotional issue. Now, if you would say to the guy, you have a broken leg, you wouldn't tag that on him for the rest of life. You wouldn't say, hey, that's the guy with a broken leg. 3 years later, you wouldn't say, even though it's healed, it was temporary, you wouldn't say, hey, that's the guy with the broken leg. You just wouldn't do that because the leg's going to heal and you're not going to be tagged with that for the rest of your life. But I'm going to say the inside stuff, you don't want to be tagged with it because someone say 3 years from now, oh, that's the depressed one. Oh, that's the person who's always becomes anxious because you're afraid if you say something, it's going to stick with you for the rest of your lifetime. You see the stuff going on inside that we've all experienced, depression, anxiety. I want to say it could be, or maybe it is more. I just want to say this. It could be far more worse than the physical stuff. What's going on the outside? Charles Spurgeon said this, "The mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. The flesh can bear only a certain number of wounds and no more, but the soul can bleed in 10,000 ways and die over and over again each hour." So what I want to do today is just take away the stigma, to normalize the conversation. To say it's okay to talk about this stuff. And I want to say I believe it's much deeper than we're even aware of. Now, I want to give you a statistic from the CDC. Now, don't turn off your ears because I said CDC, okay? But CDC said this, gave out some numbers before pre-COVID. The CDC said before COVID, 15 to 20% struggle with a mental health issue in your lifetime. Or at least a time in your lifetime. And I'm going to put this graphic up. So in 2019, 15 to 20% of us struggled with this during our lifetime or a season in our lifetime. You fast forward to 2020, right now, it's 40%. 40% of us are struggling in 2020. And I want to say if 40% of us is struggling with anything, it's a crisis. I just want to give you a short list. Have you dealt with anxiety, depression, fear, stress, shame? Well, I have a confession with you. I've struggled with those things the past 2 years. And I want to say, ask you, does that make me any less of a person because I tell you that? Now, I'm not saying I've suffered nearly as some of you. I'm not saying that. That's your story. I'm not saying my problem is bigger than your problem. I said I have struggled with this. And some of you are still struggling with it, and it's been really hard. And it's been hard for me. But does that make me any less of a person because I've told you that it's been hard? You know, all this tends to drive us to isolation. We start to separate ourselves. It's called a false refuge. A false refuge of isolation. Now remember, our takeaway is going to be God is our refuge and strength. But when we go through times like this, we go to the refuge of isolation. Elijah did that in the Old Testament. Remember that story, the prophets of Baal? He had a big victory, and what did he do after the victory? He went into a cave, a false refuge, and hid in this false refuge called isolation. And you know, we're the same way when we go to our false refuge for safety and comfort. We experience loneliness. It increases our addictive behaviors, our compulsive thoughts, and we get hooked watching TV or Netflix or whatever the false refuge is. We get caught watching our devices, and our screen time hours go up more and more each day. And the more that we're secluded in this false refuge of isolation, the more alone we get. Now remember, a refuge, the definition is a condition of being safe and sheltered from pursuit, danger, and or trouble. This false refuge of isolation, it's like a cave. Someone said the only thing worse than going through a crisis is going through it alone. Well, I have good news, because Psalm 34:18 says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. There's other false refuges that we go to besides isolation. We can go to the refuge of food, and that's where we find our comfort, and we become consumed by food. Or it's recreation. We buy a boat, and we go away on the weekends, or an RV, or we spend time on the boat every week because that is our refuge. But I want to tell you, boat is B-O-A-T. You know what that stands for? Bust out another thousand. It's a false isolation, a false refuge. Now remember our bottom line, Psalm 64:10. The righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in Him. So our bottom line is, God is our true refuge. So how do we find refuge in God? Well, the first step is this. Find refuge, a place of safety, in His Word. Find refuge in His Word. Psalm 119:114 says, God, you are my refuge. God, you are my shield. And it says, I have put my hope in your word. You see, David went to the refuge of God when he was facing pressures in life. And it says here that if we go there, that you're going to be my shield and you're going to be my hope if I go to your word. So the first step is finding refuge in his word. And we're always challenged here to find a disciplined form of reading and to get on a reading plan and try to read through the Bible. And those are great plans. And I've done that a few times, a reading through the Bible. And you get a bunch of chapters, seven chapters, and you read through them and you check off the box and then you open up the Bible good. Now, that's a very good way to do that. But I found starting this early summer, I decided to do something different. I've been going through the book of Psalms. Now, I'm wired different. Now, the Bible reading plan is great, and we should definitely do that, read multiple chapters, hoping that something sticks. That's good to get a grand picture of the Word. But the way I'm wired, my pathway to the heart of God, is I need to stop and slow down and take a little chunk and meditate on it and bite on it and let it just marinate over my life for that week. Now, that's the way that I'm wired. And so defining refuge in God. So if you were here going to attend this weekend, on your bulletin would be a scriptures of all the some of the top 10. I picked out the top 10 of 40 of how we can find refuge in God and refuge in His Word. So you could take these scriptures and just stop for the day and maybe the week and just meditate on that one chunk. So here's how it goes. I was reading Psalm 119, 114 one morning. I'm sorry, Psalm 62:8 one morning. It simply says this, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. And God made me stop. And I could just kind of hear Him saying, Frank, that's all I want you to chew on right now. Will you look at it, Frank? It says, trust in me at all times. And so during that time, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I'm anxious. I have some stress in my life and I'm worrying about things. And Lord, you're telling me to trust in you at all times. And I think, Lord, I need that today. I need that this week. Everything that comes my way today, this week, I will not go to that refuge. I will trust in you at all times. And God, I'm going to wake up every morning knowing that you have my back and I'm going to seek you more than any other thing. One morning this summer, I went to Psalm 46:10. Just bebopping along the scriptures and I stopped there. It was like God said, Frank, I want you to stop. Stop right here. Read it again. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. I want you to stop at the first part. Be still, Frank, and know that I'm God. And so I started to think about that in the morning. God, I really want to know you more and more. I want to press on towards the prize of eternal life. And I want to know you more and more and grow in you. God, I want to know you more. How do I do that? And he says, Frank, I just want you to be still. And I got to think about that. I thought to myself, when was the last time I saw a full sunrise or a full sunset? I'm talking in its entirety, from like 4 in the afternoon till 8:30 at night. I mean, when was the last time I did that, where I just spent the whole time in silence and being still before God? You know when it was? It was at least 5 years ago. And I remember the place watching a full sunset. It was in Montana, Birdtail Butte, Cascade, Montana. I was elk hunting. And I was on top of this beautiful vista, just spotting, looking for elk. And I sat there the whole time watching God's work, his thing as a sunset. And during that time, I saw the stars come out, as this scripture says, it displays his wonder and his power. And I got to spend time just knowing God through the silence of being still. So I thought, you know, I haven't done that for years. And so the next morning, I decided I'd go sit on my back porch, 5 o'clock in the morning till 8, and just be in silent and watch the sunrise. And during that time, as I'm just, God, you want me to be still. You're my refuge. I want to go to you. And he just started to display little things. The sun started to come up. And I realized that God has control of all things, of the gravity and the sun coming up and then the birds. And he says, Frank, see those birds? Remember Jesus said, my son told you to don't worry that the birds, I feed them. And yet they're only worth a penny and you are more worth than they are. And I will take care of you for all of your days. So why worry, Frank? Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Well, in the bulletin, you can do that this week of finding refuge in him. Just pick one. You'll read it, and God says, I want you to stop and take time and find refuge in him. The second point is this. Not only find refuge in his word, you find refuge in God's people. And I think this is an important point to remember. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. You see, God intended the church to be the church, to help people in need and have fellowship with people in their lives. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Then we need to find refuge in God's people. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some of you have in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another. And I'm finding that a couple of my friends back in Montana, they post on Facebook. They got an RV this summer. And they posted on Facebook, we scored 36 days this summer out camping. And I know their story, I know their families, and I'm doing the math, and how many times have they chosen not to go to church and do the easy way, well, we're going to have church with the family and watch it online. But I want to say, finding refuge in God's people, Paul says, don't forsake the meeting together. And could it be, I'm just saying, could it be their false refuge? It's just so easy to do, to just kind of disappear. But as we look at the early church, they met regularly. They met for teaching, prayer, communion, and fellowship. And we found share the foundation of Jesus Christ in that. In Alaska, they have sea otters. And they float on the surface. And when they sleep at night, they kind of form a relaxing position. They float on their backs in a serene look. And as they sleep. But the unique thing, when they sleep, they gather into group, and so you'll see all these sea otters, and they hold their little paws together, or their little hand, I guess it'd be paws. They hold their little paws together, and they entangle themselves together. And the reason they do that way, none of them will just be in the middle of the night, be drifted away by the current, and be swept out to the sea. And you know, they just hold each other and hold hands, because it's so critical, because it's so easy to just drift off into the ocean, into isolation. You know what? Corporate worship, it does something. It binds us as a family of God. It gives us a chance to praise God together as a family, and we become united in prayer, and as we partake of communion, we share our common experiences, our stories, and we're not afraid to. We share our burdens, because remember, most of us are just like the rest of us. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And so we need each other. We need to find refuge in each other and refuge in God's people. And quickly, here's the last one. We find refuge in prayer. Maybe they're all important, but this is important. You know, prayer is an unnatural activity. We have to learn how to pray. We just don't fall into it. It goes against our human nature. We're used to living in the fast lane. But prayer is the most intimate communication that you can have with God. And it only comes through prayer. And as you grow in your prayer life, God will reveal more of himself to you. Just like that prayer, be still and know that I'm God. God, I want to know you. And how we know God is through prayer. And when you start praying, God will reveal more of himself to you. He'll breathe more of his spirit of life in you. And you can't be casually related to God. You have to say, God, I am all in. If I want to experience the daily and trust in God and experience the confidence and peace and refuge that he has to provide, it all comes through prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the question is, how's your prayer life? I have my cell phone on, and I have some bars. It goes between 2 and 3 bars, and 4 is a max. I want to ask you, how's your signal strength connecting? How's your signal strength, and how much are you connecting to God? I want to ask you, how many bars do you have when it comes to prayer as you connect with him? 1, 2, or maybe you take it off airplane mode every once in a while. How's your connection with God? So why do we need to pray? Well, Jesus commanded us to pray. He commanded the disciples to pray. Jesus himself expects us to pray if we want to be a devoted follower of Jesus. He expects us to do this. He says in Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, the next verse, but when you pray, the next verse, and when you pray, the next verse, this is how you should pray. He told us in Luke 11:9, so I say to you, ask and seek and knock and come to your Father in prayer. He says in Luke 18:1 that then Jesus told his disciples that they should always pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells you and me today, be joyful always. What does it say next? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, Prayer is our lifeline to Jesus. And this is basic Christianity 1. So this is a challenge this week, to find refuge in His Word, to come back to church and find refuge in God's people. And don't be afraid to share your stories, because we're all the same. And thirdly, find refuge in prayer. Now, if you were here right now and we were having, you were here at church, I would do this right now. The music would be starting to play. I'd bring focus to our prayer wall that we have and give you the invitation to take a prayer. You can do it anonymous, and you put that in the wall by the foot of the cross, symbolically saying you giving that burden to Jesus, and He'll take care of it. He has your back. We would open have an open time of worship while you can go over there. If you would hear, were here, we have a prayer intercessors that understand maybe more what you're going through, and you don't know how to verbalize it, but you've been just had some emotional anxiety. You don't have to say anything. They'll just pray over you. And how refreshing is that when you go back to car? For some of you, we're going to have a couple baskets there. One basket is full of scriptures that you can take home. Just take that little packet of scriptures in the basket that's called Fear and Worry. If there's another basket and it deals with scriptures about anxiety and depression, and we encourage you to just take those scriptures and just to slow down and be still and let God breathe in you during your quiet time and your prayer time. I'm going to close with the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Could I put a little hashtag on that? Which would be a false refuge that we go to of isolation. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And here's the second verse I want to land on. So today, how's your wounds? Are you still weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. That's our bottom line. God is our refuge. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, as we learned last week, that the battle is out there. It's a spiritual battle. And that we learned last week through Carrie that the battle belongs to You. And thank You that we can learn that, God, You are our refuge this week, and we can come to You instead of going to the false refuge. We can go to the true refuge, that You give us life when we come into Your word and we slow down, as it says in Psalm 1, I delight in Your law, I meditate on it day and night, and I will be like a tree firmly planted by many streams, and I will produce much fruit. Lord, help us to slow down and to find refuge in Your words. Find refuge in our church and the people around us, because, Lord, we're all mess ups. And we thank You that You breathe new life into us, into forgiveness. And, Lord, I pray that we can just rekindle here the roof of prayer, that we can come to You anytime, anywhere. So, Lord, thank You. Walk with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week.